Is everybody ready?
Yep. I guess if we ever really get going on this, we're going to have to change this or I'll pay this guy.
I got that mojo.
He's dead.
Yeah. That's right. Jimmy Doan Show. What's good?
Good.
All right. Boy, I tell you, we're doing, what, 3 in a week or something like that? This is last minute shopping days before Christmas. Yep. Today is Thursday.
Oh, shoot. I got to start Christmas shopping.
Well, you can start it on Saturday.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah, that's
right.
What I'm doing mine.
Saturday, plenty of time. Plenty of time. No problem. Jimmy Doan Show, we have Jimmy here and Curtis.
Hey.
Our erstwhile barrister. Engineer Eric.
As always.
As always, that's right. Otherwise, we wouldn't be on. And I want to thank you so much, Wayne, Pennsylvania, new listeners up there. Yep. Also in Fernandina Beach.
Yeah.
And Josh. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Josh.
Good to see you. We're going to talk about this, but we also have a new foreign visitor. We're going to talk about him in just a minute. Did you know, by the way, we don't know how many people are coming through iTunes, but there are a lot of those people that have iPods, such as I do, of course.
Right.
I have to record the show through iTunes. We can't get a count of how many people or where they come from.
No.
So when we screw up the
XML.
Screw up the XML, we get nasty notes. Nasty notes. But they have a new, have you seen the new jacket?
What new jacket?
Kempo Fashions, it's called. This guy, they have a jacket that has, like, embedded in it the buttons for your iPod, and it's, like, non-electrical or something.
Yeah, I have actually seen it.
$275. And what you do is you basically click on your iPod, and now on your sleeve buttons, kind of like something out of Star Wars or something, you have your fast forward and back and everything like that. And it's supposed to be washable and... As long as you take your iPod out, I think. And take off your headphones. And,
right. So how many did you order?
None. Well, this is why we need to get our PayPal up there. So we can have,
right.
We need to have Jimmy's jacket fund or something started here. I'm not sure exactly.
It's Jimmy@JimmyDoan.com, right?
That's right. Send money.
Send money.
We don't care. Or the jacket.
Or the, that's right.
I'm not proud. That's, Kempo Fashions, and you just, no problem. Just send
we'll
it
give
to,
you a...
We'll give you a P.O. box drop box someplace.
Drop box.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night.
Middle
of
the night. Central
leave
Park.
Leave it in the mailbox.
That's right. Yeah. There'll be somebody in a hood. Okay. In the hood. Okay. So anyway, today is, we'll talk a little bit about the... election in Bolivia. And that's what I want to say was we actually have a listener in Bolivia. I'll talk about that in a second.
Hola.
Hola, yes. Hola, Bolivia.
¿Cómo estás?
¿Cómo está?
Nah.
It's both.
It's both, right. Well, ¿cómo estás? I think is more familiar.
Sí.
Sí. Also, the $40 billion that Congress is arguing over for the budget, quote, cuts, unquote.
Pff, I spent that last month.
Oh, well, again, pocket change,
Exactly.
And it is, actually. It's about a rounding error.
Right.
But we'll talk about that. And the transit strike, of course, still on. Although, in New York, they're starting to get a little upset about that. And maybe a little an update on Katrina. Turns out that the... Hurricane.
It was a light breeze.
It was a light breeze, and the levees. What happened? They forgot to tell the levees.
Right.
And the levees said, "Oh, big one."
They missed that memo.
We're falling down now. We're going to fall down. No, that's good. So anyway, thank you all for listening. Appreciate it. And don't forget to, if you want to, send us a little review or something, or just send us an email. We like to get emails.
Love to get emails.
Love to get emails. Yeah, Jimmy@JimmyDoan.com. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's get started here on the what are we getting started on?
Oh, Bolivia.
The Bolivian election. The Bolivian. Erection is interesting because it's some guy, Evo Morales, is winning this thing apparently with a plurality, not a majority, but they're still going to be selected. I thought a couple of things were interesting about this. One is we do have a listener from Bolivia, I noticed on our web stats, and I'm wondering if it's Evo because we talked to him. Maybe if he is listening, we want to give him a couple of little hints about capitalism because he's obviously again it.
Mm.
He's an Indian, that is to say a Bolivian Indian type, brought up in the Andes with brothers and sisters, lots of them and everything, poor, the whole nine yards. Now he's getting ready to be a friend of Hugo Chavez and Castro and all that crowd, and freedom for the masses, but you know what that's like. It's like Cuban freedom, which there ain't none of. It's a shame because the guy, of course, what he's decided with a couple things that are interesting about this. One is he's a cocoa farmer and he's all for cocoa farming.
Yeah.
And he wants to kick the Americans out, which I think is actually, I don't think we should have been down there in the first place, eradicating cocoa plants.
$150 million a year is what we spend on. It's what we give to them, to their former government.
Yeah. Right.
To fight that.
And so he wants to ash can that and then nationalize or state run the oil that they've got. I guess they got some oil down there or something too, or maybe they're going to nationalize the cocoa leaves. I don't know. And that's where they're supposed to get their money. But it's, you know, the poor guy, the little guy, and so forth. And his idea is to give the Indians or the poor people their rights. And, of course, that's kind of backwards. You're supposed to already have your rights, and the Constitution's supposed to guarantee them. But anyway, obviously he doesn't know. So anyway, I expect personally to see another little tin pot dictatorship. One of the things that they did say was he's either the fourth. His term is for 5 years. Will be. He's going to be elected by the president is elected a little bit different from here. We have the Electoral College. And didn't we know anybody graduated from there, Doug? No, I don't know. Has anybody got a degree from the Electoral College? And I don't know. I don't remember that. But I applied, but they said my SATs weren't good enough to get in the Electoral College. Apparently the parliament or whatever they got down there is who elects their president. It makes sense because they. It would be as if Congress or did it here. Anyway, he's in for 5 years. Interestingly enough, since 2002, when the first election was held, he's going to be president like number five. So obviously, 5 years is a long time if he makes it.
Mm-hmm. What are they axing the other guys?
Well, you know, apparently, I'm not sure. I didn't, but all I know is that we're talking about three or four presidents in 3 years. And here's a guy coming up for a 5-year presidency. The outlook is dim.
What I love about this story is that he's gonna grow coca leaves,
right?
And he says that he's not gonna grow it for cocaine, man.
Duh.
We are going to grow $1 billion a month worth of coca leaves,
but not for cocaine.
I don't want to see anybody selling this stuff illegally. I mean, what, you know, that to me is gonna be, that's gonna be the interesting thing when they're sitting there with truckloads full of cocaine and there's some guy from Colombia there who says, I'll take it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Here's the cash.
Yeah. I'm going to make pillows.
Going to make Novocaine.
Yeah, that's right. Novocaine rhyme with cocaine. No problem.
I mean,
give it a rest.
What are they going to make? You know, sails for their ships or something? I mean, you know.
Well, they're going to,
for their modern army.
That's right. You know? Well, the modern armies run on cocaine.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you can
be super soldier
for a few minutes anyway.
He never sleeps. No, I've been on watch for 2 weeks. Not tired yet.
Well, maybe that's what it is. It could become a real haven for the hippies, and you know, we all move down there, kind of like
gotta figure.
Yeah, I mean, you figure a lot of people go to Amsterdam from the United States to smoke weed because it's legal. I don't know. It's not that it matters around here, but now you can go down and snort your brains out down in, I guess you're going to be able to go down there and snort your brains out in Bolivia if you want to.
I would hope so. I would hope that, you know, that's what he ought to do is turn it into a little tourist mecca. Come on.
I would. Sure. No, well, the problem, of course, that will occur, as you well know, is that the people in the president of the United States, whatever it is, wouldn't stand for it. We have a history starting with the Monroe Doctrine of going down there interfering the shit, out of everybody else's stuff. You know, we got no here, Panama. We don't like boom. You know, we will play rock and roll music until you come out of this one area.
Right.
Rock and roll.
We said, well, hey, you like Elvis, eh? So we're gonna not Sting. Oh no, I'm out. I'm surrendering.
Phil Collins,
take life from Britain.
Clear water, no, not for the 10th time. Oh, no. Yeah, I mean,
you got to figure that the Bolivian per capita, per person income is $2 a day.
Right.
So you can live like a king in Bolivia.
Right.
You know.
For not much. Well, yeah, and of course,
yeah.
There you go. And because, of course, a lot of Bolivia's in the Andes, and the cocoa leaves, for years, of course, they have chewed them. Uh-huh. As you know, as a stimulant,
right?
Actually, it prevents tooth decay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's why it used to be in Coca-Cola.
That's true.
In order to prevent tooth decay.
That's right.
They should have had that. Back at the FDA, should have put a label and prevents tooth decay.
Right. Well, and then they took it out. Now you get rot your teeth
out. Now you rot your teeth with Coca-Cola. Right. That's right.
Thanks so much, FDA.
Yep, that's right. Mm-hmm. So that's problem 1906. Okay, good. So anyway, yes, so we're going to be buried in cocoa, which will be sweet. And of course, this is not chocolate cocoa.
Right,
this is the other kind of
cocoa.
It's coca.
Mm-hmm. Totally different, man.
You think so?
Well, I mean, you know, I like chocolate. Let's not get it. It's one of the building blocks of the universe.
Maybe that's what he's talking about.
Maybe it's a misprint?
You have misprint.
Bolivia is the third largest producer of cocaine right now.
I see.
And now it's all illegal, you know. So
they're moving on to number one.
Number one.
They're gonna have all those little foam rubber hands with the one finger. You know, we're number one. You know,
right.
Bolivia.
Well, number one.
They say this is an economic movement. The way that he's gotten into power by representing the farmers and such. So we'll see.
Right. That's right. Well, the farmers. Yeah, we want to talk about the. That was that story about the farmers, the poor farmers that got bombed in that story.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we'll have to read that. I don't know. Well, at least tell somebody where to. We'll post it. Yeah, we're going to post this really hysterical
story
essay from Phoenix, whatever it is. We'll post that. You cannot miss that. You have to go to Jimmy Doan website. This is the funniest
story.
It is just about the funniest thing you'll ever read in your life.
Yeah.
It's a high school essay. Oh, I guess
it's short.
And it's short. Yeah, no, it's easy read. Even Jimmy Doan readers can read it. So anyway, that's it. So we're going to see a flood of cocoa. It's cool. So they get to be number one. And of course, he's going to end up being like Castro. It's going to end up being a communist country, more than likely dictatorship, because as we all know, once you try and make peace by, you know, nationalizing things, then there's going to be some people that are going to be upset about that, you can bet.
Yeah.
It happens. And that's one of the – it's too bad in a way. But, of course, my philosophy is you leave it alone, it'll work itself out.
Yeah,
I'm
thinking.
It will eventually.
They're going to have so many people going in there – with money trying to get the coca leaves, that I got to figure that there's going to be a tremendous black market surge. And if the guy's smart, what he ought to do is just – hopefully he's just saying that they're not going to sell it for cocaine so that we don't invade like today.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And, of course, as I say, we have a nasty, nasty habit of doing that sort of thing. We just – you know, other people's sovereignty, forget it.
Ours they're part of the
ridiculous.
Axis of
might makes right.
Cocaine.
Yeah, that's right. The axis of cocaine. So we'll see we'll see what happens. I think it's unfortunate in a way, I think, for the Bolivian people. I think because they are peasants, a lot of them. I mean, without the exception of the guy that checked in on our website, but or girl. I don't know what it was. You know, it was a.
You know, if you take away the E in his name, it's his last name is actually Morals.
Good. Actually, and that's probably right.
He's a moral guy.
He's a moral guy. Mm-hmm. I'd have to look it up, but I'm guessing that the Morales means morals in Spanish.
It might.
Or else it means snail.
Or it means huge cocaine drug dealer.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. That's hopefully what it'll mean. I think it'll be good for the people.
Mushroom. Morales. Mushroom. No, what are those mushrooms? Morels.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's close.
Good. Excellent.
See how we see this beautiful segue on the Jimmy Doan show.
This is, of course, it goes to nothing.
Right. It goes to a singularity.
I've gone into the cul-de-sac, right. And there is no way out. This is it. Boom. That's it. No U-turn out of this one. Okay. That's too bad.
No, that dovetails right in. It's interesting to see how that guy's budget comes out.
Yeah. Okay, moving right along. Moving right along on talking about budget, right?
Right.
I see how you do. The big discussion, of course, the people in Washington talking about the up to $40 billion, started off at $50 billion, $40 billion budget slashing cut that the Republicans want to do, and the Democrats and yeah, that's exactly right. Want to do is. It's hysterical because part of the deal, I think, wasn't that the one where they had the Alaska drilling? They threw that one in there too, and then they got it back out again.
They chucked that in there right at the last second to try to.
And then they chucked it out. They wimped out on it. So there's no. They said, of course, this will save. They have a picture of the bucolic moose and the green and the bears frolicking with one another, kind of like a Bambi or something like that is where this drilling is. And of course, it is a wasteland. It is like the Hoth. What is it? The Hoth world.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's. No, they ain't even that up there. I mean, that's. No, I mean,
there's food. You know, that's when you go hunting.
Yeah, that's right. No, it's like the ice world of Hoth. You
right,
know?
Right.
I mean, that's how bad
without
it is.
Without the tauntauns.
Without the tauntauns or anything. Right. I mean, with nothing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And but they think it's bucolic. And, of course, it's not. It's the size of a postage stamp that they want to drill. I mean, it's, you know, you take the square area of the drill, and that's about how much they want to do.
Yeah, I mean, the drill's only about 6 inches across.
Right, that's right, it. That's what they want. So that's, as far as they're concerned, that is ruining the entire planet. You think they're drilling to the center of the Earth, and there's going to be a crack in the Earth that's going to come down through Canada and, you know, take out Houston or something.
You're going to break Alaska off.
That's right. Yeah.
Break it off.
That's right.
Ship
smash.
Out there.
You know, no. Right. But anyway, the point is they
comes
went
to Alaska. Sailing over to Japan.
That's
okay.
It. So funny about this, they're fighting tooth and nail. And of course, the
who's fighting?
The Democrat, the Congress, Democrats, Republicans, and they're fighting over this thing, and they beat it down. They talk about slashing, cutting. You know, this is going to be, children are going to have their tongues hanging out on the side of the road, distended bellies. Old people going to die off nothing because of this $40 billion quote cut. And of course, it's no such thing. It's not a cut. It is a not such a big increase is what it is. And $40 billion, it's like over 10 years. That's $4 billion. I hate to tell you this, but when you're talking trillions, this is not even a rounding error.
What's a trillion, like 100,000 billion?
It's a lot. A trillion is part of a gazillion. But I don't know what part it is.
It's 1,000th of a quadrillion.
That's right. But it's equal to one quatlu.
Yeah. Right.
Well, yeah, they said they're going to hack off $12 billion in education loans, which I say, good riddance. Go for it.
Yeah, right. It's funny because
I don't need my loan anymore.
That's it, yeah, right. They're still collecting for it, of course. It's a little minor problem there. No, that's right. But they're cutting off some Medicaid or food
stamps. Yeah, $6 billion in Medicaid and $6 billion in Medicare and $2 billion off Nancy Pelosi's makeup fund.
Oh, my God. Well, that's no wonder.
Yeah, no wonder.
Well,
they cut it in half.
But isn't that over 10 years? I think it's over 10 years. It's budget. It's deficit reduction. I think it's over 10 years.
Oh, over 10 years they're going to cut $40 billion.
You're right. But even if it isn't, even if it's 1 year, I'm not sure exactly what it is, but it's, think about it. It's like 1%. It's not even that, but I think it's over 10 years.
That's so that somebody can go back to the constituency and say, we cut.
We cut something. Mm-hmm. Right. And of course, the other people can go back and say, they slashed everything. There's people dying in the streets. Look out. You know, the poor people are just dying. And it's so funny that this makes all the headlines. And it's actually kind of humorous in a way that we're talking about it, except because it is so inconsequential, no matter what. If it's 40, 50, 60, 10 years, 5 years, 1 year, it just doesn't matter a hoot. It really doesn't matter.
Try for $400 billion next time.
Yeah, that's right. You want to do a cut. You want to shrink government. You know, you need to slash about 20 or 30% off of it, not 1%.
Right.
I mean, as what do they call it? The circumcision rule? You can take 10% off of anything, it won't hurt. Or
something.
Yeah. Yeah, right, exactly. Just what we need to hear.
Yeah.
Just what we need to hear. Mm-hmm. No, so those guys are up there. It's so funny that the news organizations make a big deal about this, and it is no big deal.
No, that's because they don't know what a billion is.
Well, that of course comes right out of Parkinson's. That's right. No, don't laugh. That comes right out of Parkinson's Law.
Sounds like a lot.
But it starts with a B. So I don't know.
In Britain, it is a lot.
That's right.
It's 1,000 times more over in Britain.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They use a billion for a trillion.
Well, what do they know?
Apparently not how to count.
Yeah, I was going to say, what do you do?
It's like that George Bush joke where he goes, Georgia, three Brazilian soccer people were killed today in a plane crash. Oh, my God, how many is a Brazilian?
Right. Yeah, that'll hurt. But the point is that these guys, it is interesting to see how they fight tooth and nail over something that they think they can take home. Nobody really understands, has the power of a billion. They will fight tooth and nail over 10 or 15, 20,000 because they understand what that is. They will really fight over that. But in the grand scheme of things, it's nothing. So it's Anyway, it'll be interesting. It's a food fight among the 435 people up, 535 people. where's Belushi when you need him? You know, with the puts his food in his mouth in the animal house. Right. You know,
see if you can guess what I am now.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's exactly right. So anyway, that's so much for that. Alaska drilling. We want Alaska drilling here. It is fascinating that the people that are complaining about everything about the oil dependency on the Middle East. And now, of course, we've got natural gas from Bolivia and what's his name, Hugo in Argentina, who is a Guinness. You know, they're one of our largest import to us of oil. And yet we wouldn't want to drill our own. No.
Heck no, man.
Got to give them money.
Well, we've said this before. People don't. The caribou herd that everybody was worried was going to be decimated because of the pipeline has increased. I read someplace the other day is 5 times larger than it was before the pipeline because they like the heat.
Right.
And I listened to a podcast the other day that somebody said that they still believe that the caribous were dying off. And yet, everybody knows, except this one guy on the podcast.
Maybe we should take a donation up for a plane ticket for that person. Send him up there.
A bullet would be cheaper. No, I would. We don't do anything.
No.
But what do we get? Do we get to choose the plane?
Yeah, really. I got
that one from Miami.
Right, yeah, exactly. The one from Miami. Right. Yeah, that's right. Here, you're gonna go to the Bahamas.
I tell you, the only thing about this is that they really should go, in my opinion, to a single subject rule for bills out of the U.S. Congress, the way we have here in Florida.
Yes, exactly. Right. They should.
That way you can say, this is what I voted for.
No, that's right. And, of course, that brings up another thing, and that is there's a lot of stuff that they relegate to quasi-judicial or quasi-governmental agencies that shouldn't be, that they don't vote on. They say, you know, you take care of it, you know, FDA or something, and those people issue... They have the full force of law, and I don't think they should be doing that. As far as I'm concerned, Congress should vote on all of them. Maybe if they had to vote on all of them, they wouldn't pass so many. I don't know. Of course, here in Florida, what they do is they pass them all. They allow about 5 seconds for each one at the end of the session.
Then at least the person subject to the criticism of you didn't read the bill or whatever it is.
And they never do. And, of course, anytime you have a bill, as far as I'm concerned, anytime you have a bill that's even for a congressman, well, you know, more than about 2 pages, something's wrong. there's mischief in there someplace. When you see, what was it, the one I saw the other day was 600 pages.
Yeah,
and I think
the land use thing.
It was the land, right, locally here. We had the land use, 600 pages. Oh, my God, you know, give me a break. Like you covered all the bases, you know, no way. There is another rule that says that the more pages you have, the more trouble you're in. I mean, they're because people will read it and they'll find the exceptions if this isn't covered. And the next thing you know, they'll say, well, it's not.
You can write a good bill in less than 100 pages.
Oh, I can't believe that you really couldn't write one in a half a dozen pages, really.
They got a lot of stuff you got to throw in there, which talks about what agencies are responsible for which parts and stuff. Very specific things.
Well, the other thing, when you read these bills so often, this is another thing that I know right off the bat creates problem. It'll say Section 501(c)(3)-A/9, subparagraph C is now says no.
Right. That's how they do it all the time.
I know, but I mean, you know, then you have to go back and find out what that thing said, and it may refer to another one.
Well, that's why we lawyers get the big bucks.
Well,
you know?
I guess you're right. That's great. Well, anyway, let's move along here.
Okay.
The transit strike in New York. Now, that doesn't affect us much.
Nope.
But I think it is interesting that apparently this guy, I forget who he is. I forget who the head of the union is, but he may have stepped in it on this one.
Oops.
Yeah, and because apparently here we are the week before Christmas, and people are not able to do their Christmas shopping. They said that the economic impact is like hundreds of millions of dollars a day in New York.
Yeah, $200 to $300 million a day.
Honest to God. And of course, what they want for the rest of the United States, people are looking and saying, whoa, you get what? They have, for instance, right now, they are contributing something like 2% to their pension fund, 2% of their income or their wages or whatever it is. They get paid more than policemen and teachers, which, of course, policemen, if you remember 9/11, I mean, they died. I don't care who you are, but you know, if you're a conductor on a subway or something, it's not generally not death. You know, maybe you, but or a couple of people in the car if somebody's, but it's not like you get, it's not like you're running up a building and the whole thing collapses on you. Every or when you figure you're a policeman or fireman, every time you go out, you take your life in your hands. I would say that it's pretty rare that if you're a conductor, this now, first of all, so you think 2%, everybody else in the world, here we are contributing 15% to Social Security, or 12.5% to Social Security, everybody else in the world, I mean, in the United States, is contributing 6.5% or whatever it is for the person and 6.5% for the employer. Point being that these guys got it pretty, once they come out, they got it pretty damn good. And here they are complaining, and people in Pocatello, Idaho, and Kansas City are saying, you're complaining about what? And you got a great pension plan. You got a great retirement plan. You got a pretty much of a job that doesn't take, it's not like you got to have a master's degree or anything. I mean, let's face it. If you want to be a teacher, a policeman, or a fireman or something, you got to be physically fit. And for the fireman and the policeman at any rate, supposed to be. And if you're a teacher, you got to have like a degree or something. I mean, you got to have like, you know, you got to have graduated from a college and everything, but apparently to be a conductor or whatever else, say a ticket taker or whatever it is, you don't have to have any of that stuff, and they get paid pretty well. And they're complaining about what? And so that's got some people, at least out in the rest of the country doesn't get to vote. But I personally would like to, I was talking about this just to my mailman here, and he is a public service type, you know. As you know, the mail service is still sort of a quasi like Amtrak government thing. They're supposed to make money, and they're, by the way, in case you're interested, in about 2 weeks the rates are going up again, right? 37 to
39.
Is it to 39?
I gotta throw all my 37-cent stamps away.
Yeah, throw them away. That's exactly right. Or you put two of them on there.
Right.
That's what they're hoping.
Unfortunately, I've had to do that a few times.
You can buy a little makeup.
No, I know.
But I bought a roll too, so I'm all right.
The problem is I always forget. You know, you put the stupid letter in there, and you're like, is it 37 or 39? You know, when they have the change.
They are conveniently priced so that no two stamps, any combination for the last 20 years, if you've got them, make up 39 cents.
I mean, it's always a prime number.
No, it is. It is. It's not even divisible by itself. I mean, that's how bad it is. You would coat that envelope with 1 cent stamps in order to make it right. I mean, it would, you know, it's just amazing to me how they do that. It is scientifically designed so that, I mean, I've got stamps from, you know, 4, 5, 7, 8 years ago when, you know, back down to the 22. There's nothing you can put together to make it go. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
There's no combination. So he was sitting there saying that Reagan was a bum and a creep. You know, that's why it was a horrible world person, because he fired the air traffic controllers when they quit. And of course, I said it wasn't exactly like the airplane started falling out of the sky or anything. And I said, I'm guessing a lot of them went back to work. And he says, no, they all hired all new ones and trained them all. And I said, well, maybe we didn't need them in the first place. I mean, the fact is that nothing, I don't remember anything slowing down. We went skiing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I can tell you, I mean, anyway, he was all upset about that. I said, why don't they just, I said to the mailman, my mailman, I said, why don't you just fire them and start over? And like Reagan did. And that's what started the argument from, not the argument, but he didn't like me to say that. My mailman is not.
Well, my mail is all yellow and smells funny now.
Well, you know, I did give him a Christmas present, and he reluctantly thanked me. I don't know what that's like. I'd already given it to him before. I do it every year anyway. But you know, I think what happens is in the balance, not all of my mail is yellow. Some of it's still okay.
Right. He's like, well, he did give me a present.
This transit strike is amazing to me. And it's interesting that I haven't heard anybody talk about the difference between the central control that they've propagated there. The idea is that there's the central authority for, you know, and they run the trains in there. And it precludes a lot of alternative methods, potentially, of getting into the city.
Well, now, wait a minute. You can take the Long Island Railroad in and out. Still, that I don't believe that it's the city transit system that is on strike. I know that's right. That's what they said. The train ridership was way up, but the subways and the buses are what I think are what shut down. Mm-hmm. And of course, the subways look like trains when they come up above ground or stuff like that. I don't know what the deal is, but I think that they still have the any county or state stuff is still running.
Okay.
So you could, so if you live in Greenwich, Connecticut, you can take a train into town, you know, along with 9 million other people or whatever it is. So that's okay. But you're right, the central authority type thing is they do preclude. That's what monopolies are all about, of course. Is you don't have, it's like with education. You know, what is your alternative? You could pay big bucks and go to a private school. Of course, you're paying twice. And I suppose if you really have to get to your office in New York, you can, you know, go get, buy yourself a helicopter.
Yeah, well, they've got. Yeah.
What about the taxis?
Well, the taxis have.
Well, of course, they've, as you well know, a typical taxi medallion now is like $250,000, and they only allow 30,000 of them in the whole entire New York. I think it's 30,000 in all of New York City, and you have to have this medallion in order to do a taxi.
Mm-hmm.
There was a big hoorah because people were doing what they call jitneys. And this was a lot of the Jamaicans and people like that were because they weren't able to afford the taxi. So what they did is they would run around and kind of on the sly, you know, if you knew this guy was a jitney driver or whatever it is, you'd wave him down. And they were like in minibuses, you know, mm-hmm. in the minivans.
Like in the Caribbean.
Well, they were not those jitneys. Oh. Not the ones with the fringe on top. No.
Guy running out front.
Yeah, no. We're talking about the guys in a regular minivan that holds like 6 or 8 people.
Come on aboard, man. Come on, it's a crazy ride.
Apparently they put like a little, you know, they have a little magnetic hand that they can take because it's illegal. And they would just take people wherever they wanted to go on demand for half the price or a third the price of a taxi and that just in order to live. And, you know, it's kind of like what people do with cocaine. You know, you buy enough for 2 people and you sell what it is to support your habit, I guess. That's what we were talking about that earlier, right?
Well,
I don't know about that. No. What I mean is I think that what happens is the guy charges enough to pay for his gas to get around for, you know, charges other people.
Makes sense. I mean,
totally illegal. And the way that where they find these people, of course, mostly at bus stops. In other words, they'll run in front of the bus.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they have the, I won't call it a perp walk, but it's a perp drive or something. So you know the guy's a jitney thing. And you know, you kind of, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah. And the door comes open, and you know if you're going someplace that is obviously on the route, you know, so it takes away from the bus ridership.
You just accidentally leave somebody. Oh,
that's horrible. That's horrible, bus driver people.
Yeah. You know, it's just amazing to me. There could be all kinds of things people haven't even contemplated, ways to get into the city, different things. I mean, I saw
they are walking across the Brooklyn Bridge. I mean, they are, and of course, it turns out that in the morning it was like 27. So mm-hmm. they're, you know, they're bundled up.
Yep.
Man, that's got to be cold.
What about a Husky? Whoosh, you know,
except there's no snow.
Oh.
And then there's...
wheels on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
They have a catapult service.
They do?
Yes, the catapult service. Yeah. Well, what are those things called that they used to...
Who would have thought of that?
Yeah, right. Who would have thought? Thank you so much. No, what do they call those things that used to... That haul the they used to were throwing the Buicks with that have the big rope on them that throws... They used to throw stones at the castles, those launchy things. They're not catapults. They have a special name for those.
Yeah. That's been forgotten in time.
That's right. Okay, mm-hmm. Good.
It's called a catapult.
Yeah. Thank you. Right.
Catapult with a rope. What I like is that they determined that they were going to prevent this kind of a strike by making it illegal.
That's right. I mean, it is illegal. And, of course, they're being fined. The union is being fined like $1 million a day, as they called it. They're talking about putting people in jail. One of the things that they're saying is that at $1 million a day, it's like fining Jimmy $1 million a day. Like it's 1.2. Who cares? And I ain't got it. I'm never going to have it. You know, you might as well be 50 million.
Well, they probably,
so you might as well stay out on strike.
They probably raid their pension fund or something.
I don't think they ain't going to do that. No. I mean, no pension. Yeah, I tell you, they get in trouble if they raided that thing.
But, if they're found to commit a crime and it's.
And I'll bet you a dollar on a donut that pension fund's pretty well sacred because that doesn't belong to the union. That belongs to the members. So, but it would be the money that they, you know, their overhead money, you know, that kind of stuff. Whatever this guy gets paid, you know, gone. But I know, I doubt if they could do that. But the deal is that these guys, at least to the outside people who have no say in this, they're asking for an awful lot, and they're out on strike, and here it is the week before Christmas. They're not getting much sympathy from even from some of the newspapers, and the radio stations are starting to heap onto this guy. And
David Letterman said that New York is basically like Dick Cheney. Every major artery is clogged right now.
Well, the other thing, the good news I found out was that if you happen to have been stuck in New York as a tourist, and you got
you can actually get into all the stores.
Oh,
and
everything!
Stuff, right?
I mean, you walk right in. You know, to you go into El Cirque or whatever the hell it is, and normally it's a 2 month wait. You walk right in. You come right on in.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, what do you want? Half
Broadway
price today?
Broadway show.
No, they Broadway shows, Oprah, the whole thing. There's some kind of deal. Broadway show.
And Oprah's in Chicago, isn't she?
No, I know, but there's an Oprah something that was there. One of her.
Fat Farm?
The Color Purple.
Oh, okay.
And right. No, that's Heidi Fleiss.
No, not the Fag Farm. The Fag Farm.
The Fag. I'm sorry. Were we talking about Elton John? No. We're digressing.
All right. We beating this up or what?
Yeah, we beat that up.
Okay.
Unless you got something else.
No.
And the only thing I got that's of critical importance, of course, is a slight update on Katrina. Apparently, they've gone back out and. That's a thunderstorm. That's not a hurricane. Oh, thanks. I can do that. Hey, you're supposed to. Don't you have a sound effect for tin ripping off of the roof or something like that? Or, a cat being impaled in an oak tree or something?
No, but I'll get one.
Okay, good.
That's pretty good.
As, of course, it was one of the things about the hurricane, as Ron White says, it's not that the wind is blowing. It's what the wind is blowing. You could decide to tie yourself to a tree and withstand the hurricane, but if you get hit with a Volvo, that's going to hurt. So anyway, they have gone and recalibrated their anemometers or whatever, and they said, "Oops, we think when it hit New Orleans, it was only a Cat 3."
Well, I believe that because I remember watching it at the time, and the largest wind gust I ever saw was 118 miles an hour, and I kept waiting for the 140, 135, 150, whatever, and even a gust, nothing. 118 was the highest.
Was
one
the
ever
gust?
Saw. Yeah,
yeah. So that's. That's like Cat 3.
It's Cat 3.
Well, it just says right here, it says, new data shows Katrina's top winds were about 127 miles at impact, and that New Orleans and Lake Pontchartrain were likely spared from the storm's strongest wind.
Well,
so, yeah.
It was they were spared from the sense of the flood happened the next day.
Right.
I mean, the nightmare scenario didn't actually happen. The nightmare scenario was all those people evacuating their homes during the flood and during the hurricane at night.
Well, right. And the levees failed because the water level rose up and fell over the top of them and eroded the base. But again, like you
said, except for the explosions that George Bush planned in home.
Right.
I forgot about those.
The explosions. Yeah, the George Bush was down. That's what he was right, down he there was trying to cover his tracks from the explosions that he planted in some of those levees because they wanted to. Drown out the Ninth Ward.
All right, so what does this mean that people that built the levees are now responsible for repairing all of...
They've talked about it, and I don't know where this... Yeah.
You guys.
The government's going to sue them.
Yes, they are going to...
Except that's the Army Corps of Engineers, so that's the government.
Let them sue themselves.
They do that.
They do that
all the time.
Do they? Okay.
No, that's right. We talked about that last time. Our local county sued the state. Mm-hmm. I mean... Mm-hmm. I love it. My state tax dollars at work against my county tax dollars. What the hell is this? I'm on both sides of this, for God's sake. I'm first and second chair for the defense and the prosecution. What the hell is this all about? It's kind of like playing chess with yourself. I wonder what I'm going to do next. Let me go over to the other side of the table and see. Oh, look what I did. I moved my queen. I'm going to show him. I'll show me. What the hell are you talking about?
Tax dollars fighting against each other.
My money
against your money.
That's it.
They're trying to bulldoze a few of those neighborhoods before anybody gets back there.
Well, they're going to have to. There's obviously the creeping mold. They showed a picture of one, and I mean, some of the I don't know, but this is in the South here. People don't understand how fast plants can grow, given the right environment. Given the right plant. That's right. That's right. Good plan. Well, it's going to be a new kind of corn, I guess. No, it'll be interesting to see what Mardi Gras looks like. They're planning on having that.
Yeah.
That's all they're
going to
fire up for that.
CC over there called that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. And that'll be interesting to see. There are still people that say we want to cancel it, but
yeah. They
ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. No, I thought they've dried that out pretty much, but it's going to be definitely a change thing. They're going to have to mow down a bunch. They're going to mow down a bunch of the stuff. There's no question about that. The mold has taken over.
Mm-hmm.
They showed pictures of, I mean, literally plants that are now, you know, a month later that are a foot, 2 feet growing in there inside the houses.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
Louisiana, man. It's a swamp.
No, that's yeah, not kidding.
Now it's a moldy swamp.
Now it's a mold. Well, look, we've already said this. It's below sea level.
Right.
So it's not only a swamp, it's below sea level swamp. I mean, it's supposed to be.
It's an underwater swamp.
Yes,
an
underwater swamp.
All right. So
that's it.
All right.
Well, I think we got time. I wanted to mention the spying thing if we had time.
Go.
Okay.
Spying. This is another one of those pissing matches up in Washington, as I can tell.
Yeah, it almost seems that way. I mean, it really looks like this is stuff that past presidents have done, and nobody really cares. And what's he doing? He's just eavesdropping a little bit here and there. But I got to looking at this a little bit, and here's what's raising red flag. Red flag's going up all over my mind.
Okay.
And the reason is because I can't see any reason why he wouldn't use the normal process, the normal channels that are available. That is to say, Congress created a law, the FISA. Which stands for First Intrude, Second Ask. No, it stands for Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. But it basically says that you can do that. You can go ahead and tap people without a warrant for weeks at a time, and you can get extensions on that without even asking anybody. And that's okay under FISA. But yet the president goes around FISA in this particular case. And now the FISA judge, one of the FISA judges has resigned because he feels like, what am I doing here? And to me, this is like, I try to think about it, and I try to think to myself, why would he want to not get a warrant, but not even try to get a warrant? I mean, all he's got to do is go to the people and say, probable cause is what we have. You know, we think these people are involved. That's all you have to say. Probable cause is a low, low standard to get a warrant. I mean, if you go to the judge and you just say, judge, we want to get a warrant to wiretap these people. And the judge says, why? That's his job. He says, why? You say, well,
because Jimmy Doan's involved.
They were mentioned on a Jimmy Doan show.
That's right.
They give it to you. If you give them any reason at all. I mean, you don't have to go in there and, like, if you go up to the guy and you say, like, you go, hey, look, we think you're involved in some kind of terrorist activity. And he says, no, I'm not. And then they say, okay. And they leave. And then they go to the judge and say, well, we want to get a warrant for this guy. And they say, well, why? And he says, well, we had a hunch. You know, he didn't look at us the right way. Well, the judge is going to say, no, you know, don't worry about it. He says, well, I mean, you don't have to get the guy to, like, if you go to the guy and you say, hey, what are you doing here? We think you might be spying. And he pulls out his AK-47 and he screams.
Yeah!
You know, you're going to get probable cause for that. Okay.
But you think?
Yeah. But you don't need that at all. You don't need, all you got to do is ask and not just have any reason at all.
Okay. I think one of the things that they're, again, you're right about the FISA thing that I don't understand that. See, this is why I'm really in a position of ignorance here. My point is that they were worried, I think, about this phone call coming in, and they figured in the next 40 seconds they're going to be able to track this guy, but they don't have the number. They need to tap somebody else's phone. They know where to go. They know what to listen to, eavesdrop, cell phone. It's some satellite, whatever it is. No time to get a warrant, but we think that this is imminent danger.
And under FISA, they didn't need a warrant.
Again,
that's what's weird.
But the thing that I look at is maybe I'm attributing too much intelligence to these people, but it seems to me there must be a reason for that. I mean, that is so obvious on its face that you would think that they would go ahead and do that. The other thing that comes to my mind, of course, is that there is no shortage of presidents since before the Civil War. Since Jackson, Andrew Jackson, you know, disobeying the courts, disobeying the law across the board, they have no qualms, especially in times of war. I mean, Andy Jackson You know, the Supreme Court said you can't go down there and hurt them Indians in Georgia. And he went down, he marched on down there anyway, booted them out, kicked them in a trail of tears, the whole nine yards. And then habeas corpus suspended. A lot of constitutional things went out the window in the Civil War, as we know. And, you know, in terms of the Japanese, yada, 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 on and on. The fact that they get away with it, it seems to me to be pretty normal during, quote, times of war. My only problem, of course, is this war has no discernible. They have already said it could be 40, 50 years.
Right.
Whoa.
And that's what they talked about in the case that the Attorney General Gonzalez tried to use to buttress this position that Bush had, which is the Hamdi versus Rumsfeld, which says basically that, hey, you can detain someone during the hostilities, but if there's no potential end to the hostilities, that could be lifelong.
Right.
And therefore, you know, you're getting into some really shaky ground here.
Right. So. Yeah, that brings up some other things too. The Padilla thing, of course, they wanted to move him.
Right.
We talked about that before. He's American citizen arrested on American soil for not doing anything, but thinking about doing something. They you know, make plot, conspiracy, whatever it is. Enemy combatant, held for what now, 3 years or something? Three and a half years. And now the judges finally said he's got to have his time in the sun or whatever. They're fighting a tooth and nail. And the Bush administration said no. They said, look, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to drop all those charges and we're going to try him in civil court for some other whatever it is, like lying or something like that. and we're going to get him on lying, and as which has been done in the past, of course, as you know from Martha Stewart. So anyway, and we'll do that. Well, of course, the judges have said, no, not so fast. You know, if you think you're going to get out of having this go to the Supreme Court to find out if you guys were even remotely legal in arresting this guy and holding him, American citizen, American soil, so forth, so off, constitutional rights out the window. You know, if you think you're going to avoid having a Supreme Court rule on this, you got yourself another thing coming. And we refuse to transfer this case to civil court. You're just going to stay in federal court and tough bones until the Supreme Court rules on. So that's kind of cool.
Well, yeah, that is cool. And I hope they take him to test. I hope they hold him to the standards. That is basically, I mean, you know.
Well, the bottom line is, I said this before. Look, if you lose all your freedoms in the process of, you know, we had to destroy the village in order to save it from the Vietnam. No, I mean, they said that. And if you
know, I just love that.
If you I mean, if you lose your freedoms, if you end up with your two, I mean, it's hard to believe, but if you end up with not able to carry box cutters on airplanes, if you end up with, you know, 2-hour waiting lines to get on an airplane, and you're not allowed to say certain things, or, you know, if you're not allowed to, for instance, design your own atom bomb and stuff like that, if you lose all your freedoms in the process, then it's not America anymore. It's not and they won. And I think that's the slippery slope. The larger picture that I look at is they nibble away, and they do it on a local level. They nibble away at your freedoms one by one, and they don't call it that. They call it regulation or something like that. Here in town, for instance, it could take they're happy as clams that it only takes 2 years to get some kind of a building permit here in town. And I mean, I'm thinking 2 years, you know, you should be able to go out and do it in 2 minutes.
Absolutely.
And that's time is money.
Time is life.
And of course, and trends change, so you know you want to get your building up.
Well, that's you want to make it while you can. But my point is that if you lose your freedoms in the meantime, if they nickel and dime away. Now, I do understand the one thing that a lot of people have made on this Patriot Act thing, which they're, by the way, they're, at least as we have this show, apparently they're going to extend it for 6 months until they can work out the 25 or so provisions that were going to expire on the 31st. The one, of course, that everybody, at least I'm picked on as in this big scandal, and that actually does matter, and that it has to do with the lack of cooperation or positive cooperation between the various CIA, NSA, and the FBI, and local police. And up until 9/11, you know, if the CIA found out something, they weren't allowed to tell the FBI, and vice versa. And of course, the Patriot Act eliminated that, so they could chit chat with each other and maybe put together a little larger picture. And that particular aspect of the cooperation was getting set to expire. Now, I know there's a lot more ramifications to this. I know that historically, as you well know, FBI is for local stuff, CIA is only international, never the twain shall meet. And as we see, of course, they do meet.
Mm-hmm.
And at what point do, you know, we see this on TV shows all the time, of course, when somebody will march in arrogantly. Of course, it's fiction on TV, but they walk in, they say, well, we're here now, you know, and they brush aside the locals, or they brush aside
out of my way.
That's right. And they brush him aside, and we'll take over now. And of course, the show, of course, again, it's fiction. But the way they show it on the TV is that the local guy knows something that the Fed guys don't, and there's turf wars, and who gets the collar, and on and on and on, and this kind of stuff. Just it makes life difficult when you actually do have a bad guy.
Right.
But by the same token, when you get the ultimate in cooperation, of course, you get something like out of Brazil.
Right.
And, you know, the movie, which is a cult movie, which we all love. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the fly on the paper. And the next thing you know, things are going crazy when you have the ultimate in central authority cooperation. That's something to be avoided.
That's the movie Brazil, not Boys from Brazil.
No, that's right. No, the movie, that's the Gilliam movie, Terry Gilliam movie, which is Brazil, which is, let's say, long.
When they swatted the fly on the piece of paper, then all of a sudden
everything goes crazy. Right. That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, that's that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything else? The only other little light note I had, of course. Well, I don't know about a light note necessarily, but we did have the bad Santas.
Yeah.
And we had the kilt wearing kid.
Yep.
Any of those one you want to mention?
Okay. Well. Okay. Yeah.
The bad Santas. It turns out that Santa is. This is something when I was growing up we never had. But it turns out there's some bad Santas in the world, and there's flashers. There's in New Zealand, they had 40 drunken Santas that rampaged through Auckland, which is the capital, and were stealing and everything in protest over commercialization. I mean, I'm thinking, wait a minute now. You're rampaging through. You're destroying stores. It reminds me a little bit of you know, maybe in New Orleans or one of those places when the looters come in. And for food, only they carry off a 27-inch plasma TV. And, you know, what are you doing? You know, how do you protest the commercialization of Christmas in Auckland, New Zealand, with 40 drunken Santas raging through the pond? I don't know. It doesn't sound quite right to me.
Yeah, I noticed there was one good Santa over in England that was putting $40 or 40 pound or 30 pounds worth of, you know what I mean, 30 British money pounds.
Right. They're not on the euros.
No, they're not. Yeah. Putting them on people's envelopes. Putting them on people's cars in envelopes when they got a parking ticket.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, but I mean, only it would seem to me that you wouldn't want them within visible sight of one another, because as soon as the first guy found it, he'd be running around there robbing off envelopes. Okay. You know, he'd be running up and down the street grabbing those envelopes off of people's cars.
Yeah.
So you would guess. I mean,
that would be the bad Santa.
That would be the bad Santa. Well, that's right.
That's a good Santa. Anyway.
Well, the because England, you know, they're all very nice. Way just on blue. We don't do that.
Or think he's robbing us.
I say. And we've done that here, of course. But of course, here you get arrested for throwing money around.
Really?
Well, we've talked.
Yeah.
That's right. You can't. You got to be careful. Inciting a riot. You know, I would. It would be kind of interesting to see. If we could, at Christmas time, you know? Maybe Jimmy will do that. Maybe Jimmy will go downtown. Jimmy needs to find a high place in here in town. Oh, is that the phone?
Yeah, Calder.
And Jimmy, don't show. Hello?
Ho, ho, ho.
Oh. Oh, my God. Who's this?
This is Chris McDowell.
Hey, buddy. How are you doing? You're on the Jimmy Doan Show.
Hey, all right. Who's there?
Where are you calling from? Well, we got Senor Curtis, our barrister and engineer Eric.
I'm in Puerto Rico right now.
You're in Puerto Rico?
You're in Puerto Rico now?
I'm in San Juan, Puerto Rico, on my way back to the sunny state of Florida.
Good for you. So I understand you're doing pretty well with the pizza?
Yeah, pizza's going good. We just opened St. Thomas, so we have St. Croix up and running, and St. Thomas opened this week.
That's Godfather's?
That would be Papa Godfather. No, that's Papa John's
Papa
Pizza.
John's close.
Third largest close. Pizza company in the world.
Okay.
BGA.
Well, we're charging for this spot. Yeah. I hope you're coming into town here where you can pay us for this. Our vast listenership on the Jimmy Doan Show, of course. Unfortunately, some of them are from Bolivia. What? You could open up a Papa John's in Bolivia, maybe. Now, let me tell you, they have a new ingredient down there.
It turns out they're really getting big into cocoa leaves, and you can put that into your pizza down there. And I'll tell you, it is addictive. How good. It is amazing.
That would make up the base pizza.
That's right. Free base pizza. This is good. Only it's not free.
Right. So, we were just talking about bad Santa Clauses. Do you have any Santa Clauses down in St. Thomas?
Well, I tell you, and then this is the real deal, and this really is the truth, and I'm discouraged. I'm really pissed off at my parents, and I'm just in shock because I was doing some training in my store this week, and I had a bunch of staff members come up, hey, you know, you need to go get your picture taken with Santa Claus. And of course, I'm on St. Thomas, U.S. Virgin Islands, where, well, I'm a minority.
Because you're a virgin? Because you're not a virgin?
Because you're not a virgin?
Yeah, exactly. So what I'm getting ready to go into, I don't discriminate against Caucasian, African-American, Spanish, Japanese, anybody. I hate everyone. So I'm going to go right on into this. And so I was like, well, man, I'm going to have to go check this out. Santa Claus in the Virgin Islands, where I've been for the last 6 weeks, doesn't feel like Christmas at all under any circumstance. Say that again?
It's like 16 degrees down there?
Yeah. 116 degrees. But I guess I got to go check out Santa Claus. Little behold, she was African-American.
Whoa.
Wow.
Was she hot?
And her elves and her little helpers. Well, you know, I've gone my whole life thinking that Santa Claus, Kris Kringle.
Wait a minute. Does this give whole new meaning to the word ho, ho, ho?
Yeah, ho, ho, ho. And her name is not Kris Kringle. It's Christina Shingle.
Now, you went to the porn store.
Yeah, you know, it may have been. But
porn Santa. The porn Santa.
I immediately was in shock because I've gone my whole life thinking Santa Claus was Kris Kringle, this big, fat, Caucasian-looking guy, and she was African-American. And down there, that's it. And nativity scenes, the whole nine yards, you know, you got Black Jesus, you got Black Santa, you got everybody down there is African-American. And it's just a strange little thing that they have going down there. Now, she doesn't ride a sleigh. She pulled up in her Cadillac, and I got my picture taken with her at Kmart. So, you know, it's the real deal. And
I wonder what they're like in China.
Yeah.
No, we had whatever.
Well, the Cadillac is pulled by 420 horses, or what? I mean.
It's a 420 with longhorns on the hood of the car.
Yeah, I believe that.
But you know, whatever preconceived notions you had about Santa Claus, you know, growing up in the United States, everyone has their own version.
But I just want to know, was she hot?
Oh no, she had her own beard.
but wait, you didn't answer my question.
I mean, it was the real deal.
But you didn't answer my question. Was she hot?
Yes. So, but I'm here to tell you that Miss Shingle was very nice, and her little helpers were nice as well.
We're losing
ho,
you.
Ho, ho.
Well, all right. Well, we'll see you when you get back up here.
Take care. I hope everything goes great. And Jimmy, nice talking. You guys have fun. Have a good day.
Okay, all right, buddy. You got it, man.
Bye bye.
Take care.
Yeah.
There we go.
Oh my God, it works.
The phone works.
We have to edit that down a tad.
No problem.
But that's great. No, and that the phone is the phone.
Yep.
So that was Chris, not Kris Kringle. That was Chris with a C, and right. Then he was talking about Chris with a K.
Right.
And okay, but I just want to know, beard or no, I don't care. Okay. Was she hot?
Was she hot? I
mean, a little extra hair here and there, never bothered me.
I guess I have to have him send a picture.
Yeah. That's right. He's got the picture. Yeah.
Yeah.
But at least we like the Cadillac.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice Cadillac, eh?
Hey, you could maybe she'll upgrade and get your rolls.
Yeah, that's
which
right.
is on the web, by which, the way.
That's right. It's for sale.
Yeah, it's for sale, and then I posted it under pictures. So
okay, good.
For those of you who want to see.
Yeah, and you can buy for $10,000. You too can be
part of the Jimmy Doan Show.
That's it.
Sort of. Yeah,
I'll sign it.
Yep.
That's it. Okay, about done?
Wait, I got a couple
of
notes.
No, wait. Stop.
Stop the press.
No, don't stop the tape. But
hold on one second.
Yeah, we got a couple light notes here.
Okay.
It looks like there's a follow-up that the Pennsylvania judge has finally ruled that intelligent design cannot be taught in the schools there.
Well, now that's of course. Of course, the ruling was his. I mean, the guy was awful. I mean, he chagrined them, shall we say, the people that had passed this thing. Now, of course, it was gonna be moot anyway because they all got booted off. The school board got booted off with 8 of them were up for election and they all got booted off out of the 9, and they were replaced with people that were going to get rid of the intelligent design thing anyway.
And all I can say is thank God.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, the Scopes trial where all this started, the Scopes monkey trial, as they call it, in Tennessee, the fine was for the fine was $100 fine back then. That was long, you know, lots of big dough. But that was that was less than 100 years ago, and that was because the biology teacher refused to teach intelligent design. In other words, if intelligent design was the norm in Tennessee, and this guy came up and said, no, I'm not going to teach, and that's what started the whole thing. Now things turn around.
Yep, I got another little light note here. Saddam claims he was tortured.
I am shocked, mind you, shocked. Can you imagine? I mean,
Well, I guess if you call medical treatment torture, you know, they kept sticking me with these little needles.
Yeah, well, you think about where they found him.
They made me do the old fluoride gel treatment.
Yeah, that's right. It's a plot.
The fluoride gel treatment.
I had to bathe, and they used harsh language.
They gave me the Pepsi or Coke test, and I couldn't decide. They wouldn't tell me which was which.
Mental torture.
Mental torture. I liked the one marked number 2, and they wouldn't tell me.
I'll never know.
Speaking of mental torture, and there is actually a judge in New Mexico that issued a restraining order against David Letterman, okay, because this woman who has been watching Letterman for the last 10 or 15 years claims she's been secretly mentally tormented by Dave. He's been giving her clues and cues.
Okay, and the judge did what now?
The judge issued a restraining order, a temporary one, before the hearing, which is usually what happens is if you can say anything, they'll give you the temporary one
restraining
to get you
order,
to the hearing.
Okay, restraining order against what?
He has to stay 3 yards away from her.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do they live in the same town or something?
No! They don't even have any contact.
Okay, they were 2,000 miles apart.
Right.
Oh, okay, so now if he happens to go to Las Cruces, New Mexico, or wherever she is, and he happens to stray within 3 yards of her, then he's in violation.
Right. That's now. Right.
Probably not going to happen.
Probably not, but it's amazing that the judge took it that all seriously and didn't just, you know, remand her to custody.
Well, no, the thing is, but listen, now think about it for a second. Actually, I think the judge probably was okay on this one. Restraining order, 3 yards away, that's 10 feet. I mean, it's a joke. I mean, it's, you know, so what? So she's happy. Is she happy? We don't know. But the point is she
wants to make it permanent.
So what? It could be a bad precedent.
But injunction, you get an injunction placed against you. There's whole kinds of things. Like, you can't own a weapon. You know, you can't own a firearm if there's a permanent injunction in place against you. So, I mean, you know, she's
what?
Yeah.
What? Wait a minute. In any injunction?
If it's an injunction for protection, physical protection, that you...
Okay, but this is mental, though.
Well, it's the same thing, though.
Well, no. Is it really? I mean, yeah, you know, it's telepathic something.
I don't know New Mexico law, but
what happens
only
if the injunctee gets in the way of your bullet?
I moved her back 3 yards.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
She was invading my space.
She was, yeah, that's right. She, you know, I said, run.
Yeah,
but if she dies, then does the injunction still hold? Or
no, it goes away. And then they go, even permanent injunctions go away after a short period of time, like a year.
Even permanent ones go away after a short period of time.
Well, you heard it, of course. That's like the guy in, you know, the guy that killed, I don't know, one of the terrorists that killed an American sailor or something over there was sentenced to life in prison in Germany, but it turns out life means 15 years, and they let him go. Mm. You saw that? It was a big deal. Yeah, that's what it means in Germany. Life in prison is 15 years.
Well, better than here.
Yeah. Here, life without parole, I think, is 20 years.
Right.
No, I don't know. It's
so what's the anything? I mean, I guess just so she gets around saying, I had an injunction against David Letterman.
Well, she introduces herself as Mrs. David Letterman anyway. So.
Which, obviously, she's a kook.
She's...
No, she's obviously a moonbat crazy person, right?
No question.
No, so, and the judge, like you say, should have just said... Exactly. And you're right about that. Is if you'd been judge, what would you have done?
I would have said...
What are you doing here?
Yeah, that'd be like...
Have you lost your... Well, that's a rhetorical question.
Yeah, right.
We already answered that question.
Would you please stop clogging up my courtroom?
Yeah, no, you be formal and nice about it. You just say, I don't think that rises to this level of abuse that this court is here to enforce, protect you against.
If he's loony.
You know... I mean, there's just no way. It's hard to believe, but I don't know. Maybe like you're right. Maybe he did it for a super temporary measure right now, just to give her some appeasement or something. But
yeah,
I got it. That's the only thing I can think of.
Until she walks out of the courtroom.
Yeah, you wonder. I wonder if these little sessions come on like once a month.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no kidding.
So anyway,
anything else?
That's it. I'm done.
Did you want to talk about the kilt wearing teen?
Didn't we didn't talk about him?
Nope.
This is a little upsetting to me. This was a high school, prom or something? Or
something like that, yeah.
It was something like a prom, and the kid wanted to wear a...
It was a high school dance, and he wanted...
But it was formal.
It's formal, and he wanted to wear his Scottish kilt.
Well, and the principal said, no, you have to go home and change. And he protested, but I don't know whether he actually went home and changed or not.
Says he grabbed his sword and...
and
then the principal's dead, but there's still not on, no,
there's still an investigation. No, but the thing is that I can tell you, Jimmy, of course, is being one eighth pure Scottish and half Scotch. Jimmy.
So another color.
Hello, Jimmy Don't Show. Jimmy Don't Show.
It is.
Yes.
Oh, I've been trying to get through for days.
Well.
I can't believe I was so lucky.
Is this Mrs. Jimmy?
This is Mrs. Jimmy.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe it.
Well, it's true. We're talking about the kid with the Scottish kilt who the principal wouldn't allow him to go to the formal dance because it was too disruptive.
Well, I know what you look like under your Scottish kilt.
Let's not go there.
Well,
that's why I have an extra long kilt. go, yes, Mrs. Jimmy.
I was just calling to see if you all were hungry yet.
Yes, well, we're finishing up.
Okay, well, I have dinner.
You have it?
Yeah.
Ah, so we get to have dinner with Mrs. Jimmy tonight.
Can we come over?
Yeah.
All right.
We'll be there shortly.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Hey, I got a raise. Got food today.
Yeah, all right. That's just what we need. So anyway, but I can tell you, I was thinking about when I was in high school, if they might have sent me home. But you know, a Scottish kilt, I have worn one personally since my 1/8 pure Scottish.
Mm-hmm.
I wore one to it's not disruptive, but I wore one to a formal thing here in town. Mm-hmm.
Not disruptive until you take it off.
Well, no. But it's fascinating.
It's an attractor.
It is definitely an attractor. It is amazing how many people want to know what's underneath. And of course, if you, as you well know, anybody that's listening to the show knows full well that there is not much. but they said to this kid, of course, they said apparently if he would wear something underneath, underwear, in other words, that it would still not be okay or whatever. And he assured them that he was wearing underwear, still wasn't okay. But I thought that's wimp out, man. I'd have flashed him. Here's what I'm wearing underneath. Watch this.
You know, I mean, the fact of the matter is it's a formal regalia.
It is formal. It is totally formal. You wear a Prince Charlie jacket with that, and it's as formal as it gets.
It costs more than anybody's suit in that place.
I can tell you from personal experience.
personal experience.
That in today's market, a decent, all well with the shoes, which aren't called shoes, and your special little dirk knife.
What about me pipes?
And the pipes.
Everything else. You could spend $600-$700 easy.
Right.
On 800 because on a real one. Mm-hmm. Problem here in Florida is you don't get to wear. People don't realize how warm those damn things are. It's quite toasty.
Mm-hmm.
You think, well,
it's
might
cold
be
in Scotland.
A little breezy under there. No, sorry, doesn't. doesn't work that way.
Right.
It is toasty.
It's a heat trap.
Is definitely a heat trap.
Well, so when I was
The principal said he would stand by his thing. That apparently a lot of Scottish groups have started online petitions and everything.
Wow.
And they have said that it's an insult to Scott. He called it. The principal said, "You can't come in here dressed like a clown." Whoa, fighting words. Fighting
wouldn't
words.
Want to be telling the Scottish people?
No,
that.
You want to tell Braveheart that?
No,
you know, Mel Gibson eat your lunch alive. I mean, he might show up. Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's it. You know, don't look like clown. I don't think that's not a good thing to say to a Scotsman wearing a sword and a kilt. You're liable to end up with pieces of you not attached.
Willie'll help you.
That's right. That's right. Landskeeper Willie.
Landskeeper Willie.
So anyway, the principal said he still stand by. He doesn't care as usual. It's like he probably make a good prosecutor. You know, I don't care if he's been proven innocent or not. He's guilty.
Yeah, he's guilty because I said so, and I can't be wrong.
No, that's right.
How about this? A Canadian court lifts ban on swingers clubs.
What?
Canadian court lifts ban on swingers clubs.
There was a ban?
I guess so.
So.
In Ottawa, now there's not.
So do we even remotely care what the Canucks do up there? I mean,
sure.
If we want to go, actually, the new one is being backed by a Florida group, a Florida investor group.
Named Jimmy Doan. No, we're not involved in that.
No, they just said whatever. Group sex among consenting adults is neither prostitution nor a threat to society. So they're, you know, blah, blah, blah. So there you go. If you want group sex, go to Canada. It's free. I mean, it's actually, it only costs 2,000 regular clients who paid around $20 Canadian, which is $17 U.S., I guess, for a year membership card. So, $17. Get in your car.
Maybe we ought to make a deal for them here, and, you know, we can buy a scalpel, you know, buy about 30 or 40 of them here.
Membership, yeah, right.
eBay.
That's all I got.
Done.
I mean, I have a little thing here on why guns are better than girlfriends.
Why don't we? That's one of those things I think you have to post.
Okay,
let's post that because that's good. That is really funny.
I liked it.
Oh, I love it. I mean, I love it. Now let me tell you. There's one thing. There's about number three or four in there. It says something about the closet or something like that. It doesn't take up a closet. Doesn't take up.
Yeah.
But it's not the gun. It's the holster. To make the parallel. It's the holster. It doesn't take up much room in a closet or something. You know,
a gun doesn't take up a lot of closet space is number five.
Yeah, but it's not the gun. It's the holster. Because to make the parallel correct, it's the girl's clothing that takes up.
For purposes of that joke, that's accurate there.
What? It is not accurate unless you keep your wife in a closet or your girlfriend in the closet. No,
is it for purposes of the joke? It's an accurate.
We deem it to be accurate. Right. That's right. We deem it. That's right. We deem this lie to be true.
That's right.
That's right. I know it's a pack of lies, but we deem it true.
All right. Well, we'll post it.
That's a good one. Really, what was the other thing we're going to post? The other thing was, and don't forget this, the essay. You have got to go see the Phoenix University of Phoenix, Phoenix High School, University of Phoenix, whatever it is, essay. You've got to see that. It's one of the funniest.
And if you want us to email it to you, we'll be happy to. If you just drop us a
email note. and we'll do a reply.
That's right.
And because it's funny. It's fun. This is one of those things that ought to go around. It's really hysterical. Okay, done. All right. Well, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in the meantime, I've got some new toys here that came in that I want to play with. I know it sounds.
Wait till after Christmas.
No. I bought Christmas. Nobody's getting me any presents, so I'm buying my own. No, that's it. I got.
Yeah, the rule is you're not supposed to buy yourself anything a couple weeks before Christmas.
Off chance. Well, I happen to know that everybody I know is broke. A lump of coal would be expensive. Actually, in this day and age.
Break the bank.
Yeah, give me a gallon of gas. So anyway, send us Jimmy@JimmyDoan.com. Send us email, Jimmy@JimmyDoan.com. Love to hear from you. iTunes now, by the way, is taking, you can do a rating.
Okay.
And so they can rate us on iTunes.
Right.
And as soon as
rate us, don't rape us.
Yeah, that's right. Don't rate us.
Rate us.
Not funny. Okay. We'll end on that sour note. Okay, guys, we'll see you next time.
Do a Christmas show, maybe?
Merry Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays.
Merry New Year.
Chappy and Jonathan.
See you later. Bye-bye.